So, summer of adventure. Benjamin and I don't get to decide what to preach on this month. You voted and you decided. And I got the topic that I got today that you voted. Okay? You voted. You wanted to learn about what is sin. See, it's Emeryville campus. You guys are too holy, right? Like San Francisco campus, they want to learn, know about Christian dating, what singleness, and today they ask for emotional health. That's kind of deep, right? But here you guys wanted to learn about humanism, church history, right? And then what did we do last Sunday? Oh, yeah, that's good. Your influence in the marketplace, which Jimmy, where's Jimmy? So good, so powerful, right? So powerful. And today, you have voted to hear the word of God from the topic of what is sin. So, Alina, do you have my scriptures? All right, so I want you to all stand and to give our honor to the word of God. We're charismatic church. We are very Bible-centered church. We believe in the authority of the Bible, right? And we want to give honor to the Word of God as we read the Word of God. We're going to look at three scriptures. We're going to first look at James 4:17. Then we're going to jump to Genesis 4:7, and then Romans 14:23. We want to see what the Word of God says about sin. Everybody say sin. Okay, James 4:17 says, therefore, to him, say to him, who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, say to him, it is sin. Say sin. And then we're going to jump to Genesis 4:7. It says, if you do well, okay, Genesis, next one. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. Look at your neighbor and say, sin desires you. But you should rule over it. Look at your other neighbor and say, you should rule over it. Okay, next is Romans 14:23. I'm just going to read the last part. It says, everything, say everything, that does not come from faith is sin. So, Father, we ask that you would give us understanding of your perspective of what sin is. And today, God, will you show us the areas where we are walking in sin? Will you, God, show us where you're calling us to a higher place of faith, Lord? We look to you, Holy Spirit. Speak, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? You may be seated. So what is sin, you ask? Okay? If you were to ask me, according to the Bible, whatever is not of faith is sin. And also, we're a relational being. We always know, we know in our head and in our heart that Christianity is relationship, right? So to me, you know what is sin to me? Is when I break my God the Father's heart. That's sin. When you break your Father's heart, it's sin. There's about 10 Greek words for sin, but I'm not going to go there, right? I'm just going to tell you four things, and it's up there so that you could be, you could look at it. So, hamartia. Everybody say hamartia. Definition of this word sin is to miss the mark. There's a mark that God is calling you to go, and you miss it, right? Next is parabaino. Say parabaino. It means to overstep and neglect or violate. You know, you see it, obviously, but you act like you don't see it. You just overstep. Okay? Next is adikeo. Say adikeo. It means to act unjustly or do someone wrong. Okay? Willfully. Okay? You are doing something that is unjust. And lastly, say hetao. It means to be defeated or overcome by temptation. It means you are being tempted, and instead of fighting your good fight of faith, you just let it overshadow. You just submit to the power of that temptation. Okay? So we're going to start with James 4:17. Okay? You look at it. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The Bible tells us through this scripture three things about sin. You ready? Okay, number one, sin is personal. To him, it says. These two words, to him, is repeated in the beginning and at the end of this verse. To him who knows to do good does not do it. To him, it is sin. You and I, okay, will never be able to stand before God and say, but he did that. She did that. Well, everybody else is doing it. Parents, does that sound familiar? Well, she has a phone. Well, they get to spend the night, right? We, you and I, sometimes we act like little kids before God, don't we? It's not about what this person is doing or not doing, okay? You know what is right, and you know what is wrong. And even if the whole world abandons what is right to do what is wrong, that does not give you and me an excuse to do what is wrong. Okay? And it's not about how I feel. It's not your feeling. It's the word of God, the written word of God. The scripture tells us what is right and what is wrong. So sin is personal. Say personal. Second thing that this verse tells us about sin is that sin is both, okay, passive and active, okay? To him who knows to do good but doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Sin is not just about what you do wrong. It's about what you do not do that you know you should have done, okay? Sin of omission is the things that you should do that you chose not to do. And sin of commission is you know you shouldn't do that you still chose to do. And for the world, you and I, when we think about sin, we only think about the second part, right? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have seen that. I shouldn't have drank that. I shouldn't have smoked that. I shouldn't have, right? But to God, when you know the truth and you just chose not to do it, what you should have done that you did not do, to God, that is sin. I'm not making this up, guys. I'm not just a black and white person. It's what the scripture is saying. In Matthew 23:23, it's not up there. I didn't put it up there, okay? I forgot to. You know what Jesus is saying to Pharisees? Man, you are so careful about giving tithe. You go buy grains and you just take one-tenth and you give it to God, but you neglect being merciful. You take what you are supposed to give, right, to your parents and say, oh, we're going to give it to God. And Jesus is saying to Pharisees, you should tithe. But you doing what is right in one area does not excuse you to do wrong in another area. Yeah. Pastor, I'm single and passionate. I did not sleep with that person. But you know, I did see something that I shouldn't have. That, what you did not do here, does not give you excuse to do what you're not supposed to do here. Yeah. Amen? So today I want you guys to ask the Holy Spirit, am I living in sin of omission? Is there things that I know deep in my soul that what I should have done that I haven't done, God? And I want you guys to give the Holy Spirit the permission to reveal it to you so that you will come back to your rightful place of faith. So sin is personal, sin is passive and active. And lastly, this scripture says that sin is knowledge-based. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge. to him who knows. Okay? Sin is when you willfully ignore, say ignore, the truth that you know to be true in order to do what you want to do.
Amen. Hmm?
Benjamin told me to repeat this. So I'm going to repeat it. It's worth quoting and write it down, guys. Right? Sin is when you willfully ignore the truth that you know to be true in order to do what you desire to do. You know, you can create all kinds of biblical explanations for why you think something is okay for you. But yet, you can't escape the nagging sensation in your gut that keeps telling you that it's wrong. You know, as a pastor, so many people come to me, is it really sin to do this? And then they try to find, right? Try to find excuses, right? I'm not getting drunk, pastor. You know, I know my limit. Well, so it's not sin to drink. It's just, right? And then, okay, fine. Like, if your conscience says, go ahead, right? Then why are you, right? And then you act a little differently. Oh, no, I wasn't drunk, you know? And then you're like, what about drugs? I mean, is it really wrong to smoke a joint? I mean, where in the Bible? And people try to find, like, does it really say in the Bible? And when I try to, like, help them, they're like, you know, oh, you know, like, God told us not to, you know, we need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not other substances. And they're like, well, then what about coffee? And so, in a sense, when you go down that route, what? Like, you just want to find an excuse to do what you want to do. God gave you and I conscience.
Yeah.
And you know it. You know, girlfriends, dating, you know, the wrong guys doing wrong things, even if they're, you know, they tell you, well, you give you all the excuses. You know, she knows, you know that she knows what is right. Come on, somebody, right? You already know what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
And you don't need a 10-week theological teaching on sin to make it clear to you. Every one of you and me, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Once you already acknowledge sin as sin, you know what you're doing? You're giving God the freedom to pour his Spirit. You know what? God doesn't go, sinner, I'm not going to give you a sinner. He doesn't say you're a sinner and he withholds. God is more than willing. He desires to pour his Spirit upon every sinner that comes to his way. He's ready to pour it. He's ready to set you free. He's ready to deliver you. He's ready to help you do what is right. But then, when we don't acknowledge sin as sin, and we try to find excuses, does it really a sin? Then why are you struggling with it? It's your conscience that's speaking to you. That's why you're struggling. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. I know. But when we acknowledge sin as sin, that we are under the waterfall of God's grace. He doesn't condemn you. When you acknowledge sin and say, God, this is sin. I don't know how. I don't know why. When you come before God and acknowledge what it is for what it is, he's more than, not just 70 times 7, he is more than happy to release his grace to help you, forgive you, cleanse you.
Yeah.
But if you don't call it, if you ignore it, willingly say that, then you are keeping the river of God's grace and his Spirit from flowing to you. Now let's look at what, okay, that's what this scripture said. What does the Old Testament say about sin? Okay, let's look at Genesis 4:7, okay? If you could put it up there. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. Look at NIV, okay? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and you must rule over it. Listen to the message one. Is the message one there? Okay, the message one says this. Why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to, come on, kickboxer, show them, ready to pounce you. Sin is waiting to pounce you and out to get you. And what does the Bible says? But you've got to master it, okay? What does this verse say about sin? Number one, if you do what is right, sin has no power over you. When you're tempted to say, Matthew doesn't care about me, accusations about God or each other, even yourself, there's this temptation. And when you do what is not right by accepting that, once you do what is not right by believing that lie, you know what happens? The sin is just ready to just pounce you. And the more you give into it, the more power sin has over your life. Sin, right? That's number one. Number two, okay? Number two, what you know what God is saying? But you can rule over it. It says you must rule over it. You know what that means? No matter how helpless you feel when you are tempted, no matter how weak you feel, the scripture says, I don't care what your feelings say, the Bible, the word of God says, you have every power to rule over it. I feel like it deserved a little more acknowledgement of that truth. Come on, somebody. Because the enemy says, you're too weak. You can't reject this temptation. The enemy wants you and I to believe that we don't have what it takes. Yeah. But the Bible says, the word of God says that you have every power to dominate, to rule over the power of sin. Okay? Amen. 1 Samuel 15:23. What does this say about sin? For rebellion, which is disobedience, is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being the king. Number one, disobedience. When you give into sin, when you allow the power of sin to overtake you, when you allow it, when you give in to that power of sin, he says disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. See, a lot of you living in America, you don't understand the power of witchcraft. When we go to Indonesia, right? When we go to Africa, I see it with my own eyes, the power of witchcraft that has. I've seen people who couldn't eat or drink for 40 days and did not die. Physically, it's impossible, right? Even demonic power, right? And I've seen people levitate before my eyes because they went to witch doctor. Do you understand? Witchcraft. I've seen people's eyes and they were glazed and it was like animal. And once they got delivered, something came off and I saw human beings' eyes. You know, the demonic powers are real. And when you give in to the power of sin, you know the truth, and you choose not to do what you know what is right, you are giving yourself under the power of demonic powers of witchcraft. That's why you feel like you have no power. That's why you feel like, I don't have what it takes. Because the power of witchcraft hovers over you. And when you choose to keep on walking in disobedience, okay? Knowing what is good, and you chose not to choose, keep on choosing not to do it, you are not just you are not just obeying the enemy, you are rejecting the word of God. You are rejecting. The scripture says, Romans 6. Do I have that on there? Romans 6. Okay. Romans 6, 16, 15, right? Whomever, whatever you obey, you become the slave of. Okay, let's read this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Say, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Everyday decisions that you make, every day, right? You are putting yourself as slaves to either righteousness or slaves to sin. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. Verse 23, if you go down, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We started with Romans 14:23. Anything that is not of faith is sin. If you were to ask me, what's the opposite of sin? You know what I would say? Faith. Faith. You sin because you have lost faith. You are able to do what is wrong because you have lost faith. You are able to do not. You are able to not do what you should do because somewhere along the way you have lost faith. I told you a few months ago, I had a dream, and in my dream, somebody was out to kill. Demonic witch doctor was out to kill Alethea, and I went to the park. I was like, I will not let this demonic person kill my daughter. And I'm looking, everybody looked normal. I was like, God, give me discernment. And I saw this one middle-aged lady. I was like, that's the person. And once I knew, her eyes locked my eyes. And I didn't have to say it out loud. In my eyes, I'm like, you will not kill my daughter. I will kill you, right? And then once she saw my eyes and she heard that, she became really demonic and crazy, but I ran. Instead of running away from her, I ran towards her, and I grabbed her. I said, you will not kill my daughter. And then the more I fought her, the bigger she got, and towards the end, she levitated to the sky. And in that moment, I knew, physically, she was stronger than me. I knew. I had no power to levitate to the sky to fight her. But that determination deep within my soul, I looked up and said, I don't care how powerful you think you are. I will fight you till the end, and I know I'm going to win because I will not allow you to kill my daughter. And then I woke up from the dream, and I heard the still small voice of the Lord that says, Sonny, if you fight, you will win. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, if you fight, you will win. And then sometimes, you know, I've been saying that a lot to a lot of our people, and some people are like, oh, pastor, oh, no, I don't fight. The battle is not mine, it's God's. No, I don't receive that. But if you look at 1 Timothy 6:12, the word of God says, fight. Everybody say, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. There are certain battles, I acknowledge, that you should not fight, that it's not yours. You just have to watch the Lord. But we are called till we die to fight this fight every day. Fight the good fight of faith. And if you fight, you will win. You will win. I told you, I shared it, and there's a lot of new people, so I'll share it again. Because it's powerful. We just came back from Indonesia, and we went to this village, open air crusade. And once we walked in, who was there with me? Raise your hand over here. Sharon, that's it. Where's Rocky? Right there, right? As soon as we walked into that village, I mean, to get there was crazy. I was on the motorcycle. It's like this. It's like, oh, like I have to hold on to get to that village, right? Once we got to the village, the demonic opposition over that revival service was tangible. Like, it was like raindrops. And I'm like, oh, no, we're out in the open, right? And then, right, the sound system is going out every 10 seconds. It was very distracting. And then the wind was like so strong, it was going to knock down our stage. And I was like, oh, my gosh, right? It was crazy. But in that moment, like, I knew I had choice. I could believe this is too much. Let's just get it over with. And no one will get saved, no one will get delivered, and we're just going to do our best and leave. I knew I had a choice. Or if I chose to believe that this is the potential for revival, for God to do something more crazier than I could imagine. So I'm praying. Everybody's like, oh, singing, and I'm praying. And, like, a lot of our team members, like, their first time on the mission field, they're like, days, right? Like, the videographer, you're supposed to video, nothing. Nothing. They're just like, and then they're like, oh, Pastor Sonny, can you pray for me? I'm like, what's wrong? I don't know. I don't feel good. You know, so our team members are, like, freaking out because they've never experienced that kind of demonic presence and opposition, right? So I'm like, oh, do you know how exciting this is? And he looked at me like, what are you talking about, lady? I am most excited right now than any other time up until now. This is exciting. And he's like, I could tell, like, he was like, do I believe her or do I not, right? And he chose to believe me, praise Jesus. And I remember, I keep hearing, if you fight, you will win. If you fight, you will win. But with the sound system, God, how are we going to preach with sound system going out like that? Doesn't matter. If you fight, you will win. And I remember I was on my knees. I went under that's how desperate I was. There was a table, and they had water bottles. And, like, just praying like this wasn't just enough. So I went under the table on my knees. Oh, God, you said if we fight, we will win. I don't know how to fight, but teach me how to fight. Oh, God, please, please, please don't let us just get down this village doing nothing. Oh, God, right? Oh, God, please. And I'm wailing. And sometimes I could just see the faces of those villagers. They're so precious. They're so beautiful. And they have the potential to meet God for the first time. But this opposition is greater than I know how to fight. So I'm on my knees. Oh, God, you say if we fight, we will win. Oh, God, I'm begging. You know what I'm doing? I'm fighting the fight of faith. I'm not fighting demons. You understand? I'm not fighting the sound system. I'm not fighting the winds and the waves. I'm fighting for my faith. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. And as I'm on my knees begging, oh God, and then I heard Job 42, verse 2. I am convinced God can do everything and anything. And no purpose of his will be thwarted. So I just combined NIV, New King James, and Message. Okay, let's put that up. This is so powerful. I've been living by this verse in every circumstances. We're going to look at the Message portion. Okay? Job. Okay? Job, answer God. I am convinced. Everybody say, I am convinced. You can do anything and everything. And nothing and no one can upset your plans. You ask, who is this mudding the water? Ignorantly confusing the issue? Second guessing my purposes? I admit it. I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me. Made small talk about wonders way over my head. You told me, listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. You give the answers. I admit, I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do that again. I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of heresy, crumbs of humor. Yeah. NIV says, I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. New King James Version says, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. The greatest sin you and I commit every day is when we don't understand, we babble. I don't understand. God, why would you allow this to happen? I don't understand why he, why she. I don't understand, God. If you're a good God, why would you make them struggle like that? Why? And because I don't understand, I babble on about the things that I don't understand. And by doing so, well, you and I are not understanding that you are questioning the God of God, the Creator, the King of Kings.
Yeah.
Babbling, talking about the things that we don't understand. And the only way for you and I to be delivered from sin of omission and sin of commission, for you and I to come out from the demonic power of witchcraft that comes through disobedience, every choice that you make willingly, knowing that that is not good, you are subjecting yourself to the demonic powers. And the only way where you and I could stop babbling about nonsense is for us to encounter God. For us to choose the Word of God over our feelings. To choose the truth over our situations. You ask me, what is sin? You ask me, how do we live a sinless life? By ourselves, we can't. By ourselves, we can't. We can't live on rumors. We have to see it for ourselves. We have to taste it for ourselves. But the more excuses that you give, it takes you further away from seeing, touching, tasting the truth of who God is.
Yeah.
I am convinced. You know what fight you must fight today, tomorrow, until you stand before the throne room of God? You must fight. Never stop fighting the good fight of God. I am convinced, God, you can do everything and anything, and nothing and no one can withhold your purpose over my life. No one and nothing can thwart his purposes over your destinies. If you believe that, you have to remain. See, I taught our community group leaders last week. To us, prayer is me under the table. Oh, God. And then we just get up. Oh, and then we do whatever we think. We babble on and we act according to our feelings. Do you know how we fight sin? You remain. You don't remain, oh, God. You stay longer. Yeah, you start with pouring, oh, God. You stay there until God gives you his word that says, I can do everything and anything, Sonny, and I am for you. I give you my promise that nothing will thwart my purposes over Living Hope, over your life, over the members of your church. Once you receive that promise, then you get up. I no longer have to fight about that anymore.
Yep.
And I was so full of joy in that village. I looked at our members that were sitting left, right, and behind. And because I told them to pray, they're like, like they're like stringing every strength. You should have seen Sharon. She gave it all. She's just, I don't have any strength, but oh God, right? It's like on our oh God, right? And then I said, stop praying. And they're like, what? Make up your mind, Pastor. You just told us to pray. I said, don't pray anymore. It's done. It's done. Just release the joy of the Father. Release the joy of the Father. And I don't know how many of our team members actually understood what I was saying at that moment. In that moment when I said, stop fighting, it is done. The sound system still went out. The raindrops were still coming down. The wind was still strong. But because I fought the good fight of faith, that my faith in that moment in God, that he can do anything and everything, was greater than the winds, the raindrops, and the sound system going out. Oftentimes, as Christians, as sons and daughters, we are put in those situations where situationally it looks bigger. Relationally, this seems hopeless. But you and I know that God is God. And we subject ourselves to that situation and say, oh, well. Oh, it is what it is. Oh, he'll never change. Oh, she'll never change. Once, that's sin. Because you know better. God is God. You know what that means? God is God. Do you hear me? God is God.
Yeah.
He's not a human being. Do you understand? God is God. And you have to fight until you align your heart and mind and your faith to God is God. And before God, no rain, no wind, no janky sound system can withhold God's purposes over that meeting. I just knew. I didn't care about sound system anymore. And guess what? More than 100 people received Jesus for the first time. And guess what? There was a blind man and God opened his eyes right before our eyes. Just to make sure I checked it. Because I prayed for him way before and nothing was happening. And once he opened his eyes, I was like, Brapa ini? Which means, how many is this? Brapa ini? He said, Dua. He could really see. So I went back. How many is this? Three. How many is this? Five. And he publicly declared that God, who is God, opened his eyes. And after people witnessed that, everyone else that wasn't getting healed, God healed that night. So what is sin? When you stop believing. So what is sin? When you know what to do and you choose not to do.
Amen.
What is sin? What is sin is when you give in to temptation of unbelief and doubt. And today, I believe with all of my heart, God is calling every one of you to a place of faith. That you don't fight pornography. You understand? You don't fight sexual immorality. We don't fight those things. We fight the good fight of faith. Recently, God spoke to Benjamin. Benjamin, if you stop fighting there, if you're not just humbling yourself in humility. Because Benjamin felt like in certain situation, I'm just going to humble myself and just back off and give that up. And God said, you think you're humble? You think you're so humble, son? Huh? No! When you step away from your kingdom place, you're not being humble. You're making Satan take over. Yeah. You want Satan to take over your place? And then you're like, oh, no, God, no, no, no. When you stop believing, you're not just not believing, but you are giving Satan the demonic powers over your church, over your families, over your relationships, over your destinies. I don't know about you guys, but I am convinced. I am convinced that God is God. I am convinced that God can do anything and everything. God can even in a moment change the whole country. country in a moment. God can do anything and everything. And if I truly believe that, how can I continue to live life of sin, babbling about what I do not understand? I want to stand right now as prophetically declaring, I will not give up my place of righteousness. I will not give up my kingdom place of faith. I choose to believe. God, I choose to believe that you are God and you can do anything and everything. God, I don't care what I see or what I do not see. God, God, God is calling you and I to another place of faith. God is calling you to another place of faith. Faith. Opposite of sin is faith. And God is saying, sons, daughters, if you fight the good fight of faith, no matter how weak, no matter what circumstances, you will win. If you fight, you will win. And it starts with little things. And you know what? Before God, right, I had to learn. Oftentimes, I am 5 years older than my husband. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I feel like I know better than him. And a lot of times, situationally, that's been proven. But what does the Word of God say? He's my husband. He's my head. I know what is right. But because of my feelings, I don't do what is right. That's still sin. I want to ask you, in your situations, in your circumstance, you know, if you're not married, you shouldn't be spending alone time on that bed or in that sofa. You know. You shouldn't be on YouTube watching something that you shouldn't watch. Young people, you think it's just YouTube, but it has demonic power to take over your mind. And you give into that one YouTube video, it's going to strengthen you to do something more evil. You understand? Your heart, your spirit knows what is good. What God is calling you, relationally, spiritually, financially. Oh, you know, is it really sin not to tithe? What does the Bible say? Test me in this. Oh, that's Old Testament. We're people of Old and New Testament. Yeah. But what I'm saying is this. If you struggle, if you're struggling, it shows that your spirit knows what is right. Yeah. Because if you're not struggling, right? Yeah. But if you're struggling, it's your spirit already telling you that you're dapping into something you know that is not right. And God is calling, and just like Jimmy said during our prayer today, God is calling this house to another place of maturity. Yeah. Maturity. Oh, I didn't know. Yes, you did. Oh, I didn't have enough willpower. Yes, you did. Because the Word of God says you must rule over it. And God would never command you to rule over something that He did not give you power to rule over. Yeah. So I want you to close your eyes. Open your hearts. God, in what areas have I lost faith? In what areas have I been walking in sin? I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to point His finger at a specific place in your life. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. This is what I want you to work on. And if you call it for what it is, I will pour out my spirit. I will supernaturally release my glory to help you overcome that. Because on your own, we can do nothing. So Holy Spirit, we will call sin for what it is. And we will not define sin according to what the world says or according to what my feelings say. We will call sin for what the Bible says. And Holy Spirit, we give you our permission and our desperation to come take over and to help us, God, to do what is right, to do everything out of faith. Make us your people of faith. I just feel like some to the married couples here, I feel like God is really challenging you, men, to be the true head of your household. And sometimes you blame stress, you blame your past, and you've kind of stepped off of your place as a father, as a husband. And you're saying, I'm not sinning. I'm not sleeping with somebody else. No, God is calling the fathers and the husbands back to that place of faith over your wives, over your children. And wives, God is calling you. You know what is right. You know what you shouldn't say. How you know you shouldn't say it that way. Singles, you know you shouldn't be out late at night in a club ordering something you shouldn't. Come on, guys. Young people, you know you shouldn't be calling that person or watching that video. You know. I don't have to tell you what is sin and what is not. Every one of you, God gave you the conscience. Holy Spirit is in you to help you discern. What I'm saying is, will you let him? Will you, when you feel the struggle coming, instead of fighting that, will you just surrender to God?
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit, come on, come on. You guys, surrender, come on. Surrender, submit. We're not going to point our fingers at the world and say they're evil. We're going to point our fingers at ourselves and say, God, I surrender. God, in what areas have I walked in unbelief? God, in what areas, God, have I not walked in love? God, will you point your fingers? God, purify me. God, help me. God, transform me. God, take me to a place of faith. Take me to a place of faith where I could stand before you and say, I am convinced. Not why, God. I don't understand, God. But even if you don't understand, that your spirit is able to stand before God with your Bible open and say, God, I am convinced that you are God and you are good. You can do everything. You can do anything. So I surrender. I submit to your truth. Help me to cling to your truth. In Jesus' name, we pray.